Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for tuning into Holy Ghost Radio Show, a spirit-filled show with a prophetic mandate to reach the lost and impact God's people with biblical and revelation knowledge. We pray that the Word of God will make a difference in the lives of every listener. So tell a family member, friend, and a neighbor to tune into this life-changing message. Be blessed.
Well, hello, everyone. I want to welcome you back to Holy Ghost Radio Show, a spirit-filled show with the prophetic mandate to reach the lost. We are here again with Apostle Conrad Bowman and Prophetess Sharonda Riley. I'm so glad we're having them on every week, you guys. So tell everyone that they will be on here at least once a week. Tonight, we're going to continue part three of our series of Demons and Deliverance. And I want you guys to help me welcome them to the show. How you guys doing on tonight?
Amen. Blessed. How are you?
We are good. We are good. We are good. I've just been so excited with this Demons and Deliverance series we have going on. I know it's so much information you guys really want to get out, and you just cannot get it all out in a two-hour period. But
no.
We're going to continue where we stopped last week. I think we talked about the 12 strong men and the steps of the demonic. So I'm going to let you guys go ahead on and continue where you guys left off at.
Amen. I'm going to kind of recap some of the things that we talked about last week concerning demonology, like what are demons, things of that nature. And then we're going to turn it over to Apostle because there's some very important key facts that he needs to mention concerning demonology and what is it really, why is it important in the ministry, which is some of what I'm going to be talking about. And Apostle has some great insight and the body, if not ever before, that they need to get this message, they need to receive it now. As prophets of the Lord, we cannot be so caught up with the prophetic anointing and the prophetic atmospheres and just so wrapped and tied up in the prophetic to where we forget about deliverance, because true prophetic anointings cannot be birthed if we are not delivered. And, you know, we're so quick to want to jump to the advanced stuff, and we haven't even, you know, gotten squared away the little basics.
Yeah.
Like living right, like, you know, being holy and things like that. And being, you know, having our bodies to being a temple of the Lord, being a living sacrifice. And we can't be a living sacrifice and we can't be a tabernacle for the Lord if we're unclean. Then you have people who will say, well, I'm going through this, and I want to know about the prophetic, and I want to go deeper into my calling, and I want to be in God's perfect will, but I keep messing up, and I keep doing this, and I prayed, I fasted, I cried out, people lay hands on me, I spit, I spin, you know, and not to say, well, honey, you have a demon, because everybody is not demonized. Everybody don't have a demon. Some people just have a very serious time crucifying their flesh because they like what they do. And then you have those who are demonized, and we can't just always deal with the surface of a thing. We have to get to the root problem. And a lot of times we as leaders can get frustrated with certain things, certain activities with our spiritual sons and daughters or our mentorees, so to speak, if you will, that we forget, wait a minute, there is such thing as demon possession, because the Bible says that these signs shall follow them that believe. This is anybody. And it says that in my name, which is in the name of Jesus Christ, that we shall cast out devils, that we will speak in new tongues, and that anything that we drink that be deadly, that God, you know, basically the paraphrase, he will deliver us from that. But then it's for the believer, those who believe in Jesus Christ, who has a relationship with him. The first thing I'm going to recap is, you know, for those who have not been listening in and tuning in, you may have seen some things, and you know, and you may think you know what a demon is. And we were looking on some shows over the weekend about deliverance, and we was even following George Bloomer, Bishop George Bloomer, on deliverance and things like that, just listening and I just wanted to know if the man of God was still dealing with deliverance. And he asked his congregation, he said, somebody tell me, what do you think, what are demons? And everybody had their hands raised, and one person said that demons are disembodied spirits. One person said, well, demons are fallen angels, and another person said that demons are evil spirits. And two of those answers were dead wrong. Now, what we have learned is that evil spirits are not always demons, that sometimes evil spirits are sent from the Lord. Does not necessarily mean that it is a demon, because even Saul was inflicted from an evil spirit of the Lord because of some things that he got into. There are times where we can get in so much error. There are times where we can get in so much sin or mess, or if you will, to where the Lord will allow us to be turned over to a reprobated mind. He will turn over to ourselves. So there are times where people are not dealing with demons. They're turned over to their own lust. They're turned over to their own self. And regardless how you try to get them delivered, they're not going to hear you because they don't have an ear to hear. So once again, everything is not a demon. But another person said that demons were fallen angels. Some people say, you know, I'm fighting principalities, and I saw a principality standing in my house. Baby, no. Principalities ain't in your house, and neither are fallen angels. That's way too high for your rank. It's a waste of time for a fallen angel to come and mess with us and say, well, a fallen angel was here, and all of a sudden I had a headache. That doesn't make any sense. Well, demons are disembodied spirits. They have to have a body to function. Demons, in a nutshell, at one point used to be in the heavens. Before Genesis 1 and 1 happened, there was something that took place. Adam could not, and according to some teachers that we were listening upon, Adam could not, he could not replenish something. God told him to replenish the earth. He cannot replenish something that has never been replenished. So therefore, there was something that took place. Something happened. There was a destruction that took place. And well, what happened was, in the Bible, it talks about Lucifer, and it talks about his fall, and it talks about how one-third of the angels that were in heaven at one point, they had to follow Lucifer. And so now Lucifer, as we know him, is our great adversary, the accuser of the brethren, the liar and the father of lies. He has a third of angels that have come with him, which we also know as fallen angels. Then you want to talk about the sons of God who slept with the daughters of men, the sons of God, which were fallen angels, which birthed out Nephilims in the earth when they began to sleep with the daughters of men. That was half spirit, and then it was half human. So now you have giants, which would explain why Goliath was so evil and why he had to be taken out even by someone who loved the Lord, which would be David. Because not only was he so much of a human, if he was human and all pure human, he could have been converted. But because he was half spirit and he was half human, he was taken out. Now, that spirit that's in him, once those spirits are out of a body, they gotta find another body. Even in the book, I want to say the book of Matthew, apostles here, correct me because I can't remember, but it's one of the synoptic gospels where it talks about Jesus casting out the devils out of a young boy, and he commanded the spirits to go into swine. They had to have a body. The swine took off and ran into the abyss, and they went into the aquatic realm. So that's another whole story and another whole preacher. I'm going to leave her to apostle. Amen. However, we talk about that. Then we talked about the seven different states of demonization. Can you pull those up for me real quick, Apostle? And the 12 strong men. We talk about the seven different states of a person when they're demonized. You know, somebody can get in depression and say, oh, you know, today I'm just having a really bad day. It doesn't mean that they're, you know, they're possessed or oppressed with a demon and things like that. They may be having a really bad day. But when it gets to the place where it is always there. It's just a current, just constantly, constantly, constantly. You just can't shake it. You can't break it no matter what you do. I went to doctors. I've taken pills for this stuff. I can't break it. It's like it's about to kill me. You need to ask yourself a question. Is it repulsive? What is it? Then you know that 9 times out of 10, you may be dealing with a demonic spirit. The 7 steps of that were regression, repression, suppression, depression, oppression, obsession, and then possession. Amen. He also talked about the, and I'm scrolling through his laptop looking for it. He also talked about the 12 strong men. Oh, my God, that was just so awesome. The 12 strong men were dealing with the types of spirits that we, you know, that we face, that a person 9 times out of 10 are demonized. For instance, we're not casting out cigarette demons. We're not casting out, you know, look at this fire demon and, you know, and oh, that's that club demon in you and you need to get that club demon out of you. We're still looking for it so I can count and call those out. So until we find that, I will go back to the different 12 strong men. However, now, tonight, what we're going to talk about are the 5 portals to your soul. Meaning, all right, you told us what demons are. We now know that demons are disembodied spirits. We know where they come from. We know their purpose according to last week's messages. Why us? You know, what's going on? Why do they have to come to us? And, oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm going to let the pastor go through this. I can read his handwriting. Praise the Lord. Lord, help me. But we talk about all of these different things. I think I can read. Let me go over this real quick, just real quick, because this is so good. The 12 strong men, and then we're going to go back to what I was saying about the 5 portals to your soul. Okay, the 12 strong men are jealousy, lying spirits, familiar spirits, spirits of perversion, whoredom, heaviness, infirmity, deaf and dumb spirits, the spirit of fear, pride, bondage, and then last but not least, the one I hate so bad is the spirit of the Antichrist. And right now, that's what we're dealing with the body of Christ. You want to know what's going on? We're dealing with the body of, I mean, not the body, but the spirit of the Antichrist. And you know what, Tiana, I think you and I was kind of briefly discussing one of the actors who said, you know, giving our praises to our Lord and Savior, Barack Obama, and I'm like, that's not funny.
Yeah, that's right.
As much as he may think that that was a joke, you still feeding and you're entertaining the spirit of the Antichrist that's still lurking in the world. And some people really do feel that Obama is their God.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, another
story
for another day.
Yeah.
So, Lord, it took me a minute to get off of that woman of God.
Me too.
Jesus. Yeah,
me too.
It took me a minute. I mean, when I found out he said that, I'm like, God, okay, you know, he's an idiot. He's going to say things like that. But what is the body of Christ speaking about? We don't have the guts to stand up for the gospel that we call ourselves talking about. Nevertheless.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
the five portals to your soul, and I'm going to explain each one, and after I explain the 5 portals to a man's soul, then I'm going to turn it over to Apostle.
Okay.
And they are the eyes, the ears, the mouth, the mind, and the body. Okay, Prophetess, so what do you mean that these are portals to our soul? The first thing that we learned, according to Shakespeare, this is not, I found out today, this is not in the Word of God, but yet it is a very true statement. There are scriptures that support this statement. There are many scriptures that support this statement, but it's not in itself written in the Bible. And that statement is, according to Shakespeare, as unsaved as he was, is that the eyes are the windows to your soul. Okay? Then you have a scripture coming out of Luke 11:34. And if you don't mind, we're going to run to the book of Luke, chapter 11, in the 34th verse. And I'm going to read that briefly. Okay, now, Luke 11:34 says, and this is King James Version, the lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is good, your whole body also is full of light, or full of the Spirit of the Lord, since he is light. But then it also says, but when your eye is bad, your body also is full of darkness. Therefore, and I'm going to the 35th verse, therefore take heed that the light which is in you is not darkness. And I'm going to the 36th verse, this is good. Even then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark. The whole body will be full of light, as when the bright shining of a lamp gives you light. Now, these are the words of Jesus when he was dealing with the Pharisees, okay? What I really love about Jesus the most, and not only that he just died for our sins, but the way he presented the gospel, the way that he poured out his wisdom. In this particular form, I would like to call, I wouldn't say it was a dark speech, but one thing that I do love about Jesus is the way he shared his dark speeches or his parables. Okay, and to me that's a parable, because you're not going to say, well, you know, I have cataracts, so does that mean my whole body messed up because I have cataracts? No, this is spiritually speaking. Now, let's go back into history, into pagan worship. When we talk about the spirit of Asherah and when we talk about the spirit of Baal, you remember we were talking about how demonic that Disney can be, woman of God, and, you know, how Walt Disney was a Satanist, and a lot of the cartoons and a lot of the movies and the books and the plays that he's done in some kind of way supported the kingdom of Satan. I don't care how innocent it sounds and how innocent it look or anything. Something with Disney already in itself, it supports the kingdom of hell. Now, this is one of the reasons why my son will never have a Disney character of any sort in this house. Now, there's a movie called The Little Mermaid. Now, this is just to break it all the way down to short bus form for some of us who didn't understand. If you like me and if it took you a while to kind of give it, then I have to go this route for you. There's a movie that Walt Disney came out with, and it's called The Little Mermaid. Now, if you go in the stores, you may not be able to find it. It's going to be very hard to find because it went into what they call a Disney vault. And when movies go into Disney vault, it's almost hard or almost impossible to get it. So once you own it, it's considered like you just really got you something on hand. Now, there was a girl named Ariel, and of course she was half woman, and then she was half girl, and she was a half fish. The bottom part of her body was that of fish. This is dealing with the marine spirits in the marine kingdom, okay? There is a scripture saying that you should serve only the Lord your God and him alone, that you should serve no spirits above, nothing in the waters beneath or even on the ground below, just nothing. If it's outside of the word of God, you have no dealings with that. Apostle, if you can't find that scripture for me, can you find it? Okay, thank you. All right, he's looking for it, looking it up for it. Ariel, as I said, was half girl, half fish, okay? This was the cleanest idea that Walt Disney could have put it in, or whoever that came up with this movie, of what Baal and Asherah looked like. Her father, Triton, was Baal. Ariel was Asherah. Except those names, of course, disguised them. Now, how do you say they're prophets? Because if you research the spirit of Asherah or the statue of Asherah, you will find a woman whose body, half of her top portion of her body was that of a woman with huge breasts, like enlarged, over-exaggerated breasts. And the bottom part of her body was that of a fish. Now, then you have Baal, who has a huge, over-exaggerated penis. And he also held a lightning bolt. Now, in the movie, of course you're not going to see that, because it would be just so much giving it away that Triton is totally exposed. So, of course, half of his body is that of a fish. So, you know, it's got to be clean cut for the children, because the message of the enemy has got, it's got to get out some way or another, okay? Now, he's holding a lightning bolt in his hand. So did the spirit of Baal, or the Baal statue, held a lightning bolt in his hand. Now, what happened was, somehow or another, the children of Israel, not all of them, but majority of them, were led away from the worship, from the one true living God, to Baal practices and Baal worship. Somehow they went corrupt. If I go into that, that's a whole nother story about the descendants of Shem. No, not Shem, but the descendants of Noah, which will be his three sons, Ham, Shem, and Japheth, and how Ham turned on his father, and he had a homosexual type feeling for his father where he uncovered his nakedness. He didn't do it by accident. He went out to expose his father's nakedness, and he also had other men to come in and look at him, which would be his two brothers. And after that, Noah came up out of his drunken stupor, and he cursed not just him, but he cursed his children or his son Canaan. But before he bare Canaan, he had a son, Nimrod. Nimrod is no Cush. Am I right, Apostle? Okay. Yes, Ham had Cush, Cush had Nimrod. Now, Nimrod introduced Baal and Asherah practices. Now, what does that have to do with the Little Mermaid? And Sharonda, what does that have to do with the portals of the soul and with the eyes? Well, when they built these statues, the people were to come before these statues, and because of the body parts were so enlarged, and because they were so huge, it produced spirits. The portal to their soul was open through their eyes. Why do you think pornography is at its highest peak right now? Because it is the entryway to your soul. So, however, they look at these images, and the more they look upon these images, the stronger the urge is to have sex. You know, the stronger they get the urge to have sex, and then they begin to have orgies, and then you have men sleeping with men, women sleeping with women, and then vice versa, men with women, women with men, with children. It was important that they had sex, either that they would have sex to give birth to a child or to mix semen with feces, which is the purpose. It wasn't just for regular excitement. These were rituals. This is what they believed. They wasn't doing it to enjoy it, even though some may have enjoyed it. It was a ritual. So homosexuality and lesbianism is not, oh, this is just so nasty, or you're just so nasty, you're going straight to hell. No, you're going to hell because you're performing a satanic ritual.
Yes.
And so it started with the lust of the eyes, looking at Asherah's breasts, looking at Baal's, you know what, and all of a sudden they're doing these orgies and they have these big old parties and women would give birth. This is where owls would even come into being demonic. These women would give birth and they would have babies and they would sacrifice their baby for the blood. Even in the sperm, even in the semen, there's still, I don't care what color it is, there's still blood in that. And it has to be mixed with something so their spirits can manifest. And here are other ways where demonic spirits come about. So now the more they practice, the more spirits are multiplied. The more they get the people to practice, the more we got spirits multiplied. So now we're going back to the scriptures where the Bible says, hold on, God, well, how is it that only a third of heaven is cast out? Well, exactly how many angels you had? Well, they multiply. They do multiply. That's why the scripture says that one could put 1,000 to flight, two could put 10,000 to flight, which will also go to show how much power you yourself in one body really have over demonic spirits. So why are we afraid of them? Oh, well, I don't know if I need to call in on this show. Now I'm jumping just a little bit because the Lord is leading me, but I don't know if I'm going to call in on this show because I had paranormal activity and clocks and stuff was falling off my walls and stuff was shaking. No, honey, if one could put 1,000 to flight, surely it wasn't that many spirits in your house to knock a clock off the wall. Put it to flight. But don't allow the enemy to deter you from hearing what it is that he has said for you. Because the Bible said that we perish for what we do not know. And so if you have paranormal activity, as such as I did, Oh, we had some serious activity going on just for teaching this thing. I mean, all kinds of, my pipes burst. We had water all in my yard. Even my kitchen pipes burst. My son ended up sick. All kinds of stuff. But we refused to stop preaching this gospel. We refused to stop educating the body of Christ what the satanic attacks of the enemy were. So much so, I thought I needed to be put on a stretcher just Saturday. We were attacked. I thought I was going to lose my mind. Apostles started going through. We was just all, everybody was just going through. So I'm saying that don't let the enemy deter you because something happened in your house. Well, you know, a light starts flickering in my house and they don't ever have it because this is a brand new house. And no. The Bible said that he is not giving you the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and of a sound mind. And if you have authority over the devil, you don't back down for anything that God is trying to equip you. I mean, unless you're not ready. Now, if you're not ready, then feel free to hang the phone up now.
Yeah.
Because this is only for soldiers who are ready to combat the enemy and to take back everything that has been stolen, that has not, that's been wrongfully taken from you. Now, back to what I was saying. The eyes are one of the portals to your soul. What you see can very well affect what can happen to you. So now we have people who are not just men. This ain't just men now. This is women. And, you know, you got someone that says, I don't watch porn. That's too nasty. But, you know, my break, I mean, I might read a Zane book. You, it's still eyes. You're still looking at it, and it's still pornography. Because the job of that spirit is to create an image in your mind. And if it registers in your mind, anything that you see, it goes, it's all in the head. It's all, the mind is the battlefield of the enemy. And you know how they say that an idle mind is the devil's workshop? All you need is an idle mind. All you got to do is get bored.
Yeah.
Just get bored one good time. And before you know it, you're curious. Well, everybody was talking about the Zane, but let me read Zane real quick, see what Zane talking about. Well, what is it so bad about porn? Before you know it, you hooked. Don't even do anything for you. I counsel men, and they told me, you know, my wife can't stand when I watch porn, but I keep telling her, it's not you. I mean, it's not anything about you. It's just something to watch. I watch it like I watch football, and you know, and it's just, it's funny to me. It's hilarious, and I don't get anything. But before you know it, if you keep paying attention to their spirit, I promise you, you're going to do something that you ain't got no business doing. I've seen it all too many times in me counseling a lot of married couples. They step out on their husband or on their wives because of porn, because it's a spirit. The enemy's job is to lie to you by making you think that pornography is not that strong. Yes, it is, if you're not strong.
That's right.
And even if that being said, why would you want to watch something that's supposed to be between a man and a woman who is married?
Okay. That's right.
All right, but, you know, of course, 9 times out of 10, with that kind of stuff, they're not married. It's not, that's a private, that's very sacred. When two couples or when two people are married and they have married in the Lord, sex is supposed to be sacred.
That's right.
It's holy. And it is good and it is pleasing in the eyes of the Lord. But when you're putting it out on broadcast, basically what you're doing is you're duplicating what a lot of Baal practices took place, or you're duplicating what a lot of people who worship Asherah, you're duplicating that.
Wow.
And that's the lust of the eyes. Then you have the ears, and it goes on to the book of John 10 and 27. You have to watch what you're hearing. Can you find that for me? Okay, go to John 10:27. You have to be very careful. Careful of what you hear in your spirit. Be careful who bring bones to you. Because as long as you bring a bone, carry a bone. And all it takes, well, you know what? I know you new to this church. Well, I know you new to this job. Well, I know you new to this ministry or to this school or to this clubhouse. But you need to watch this girl or you need to watch this guy. You don't even know anything about them, don't know 2 cents about them. But as soon as they tell you, before you know it, you operating out of jealousy, or before you know it, you operating out of fear, and you know, are they going to steal me from my pocketbook, or are they going to take my wallet, are they going to take my driver's license, or, you know, are they going to get in the fence if I speak because such and such told me. And before they know, before you know it, this spirit has already manipulated how you feel. And if you constantly and repetitively let people come to you with garbage, with gossip, especially about somebody else, honey, it doesn't take long for you to be demonized. Maybe not demon-possessed, but it still opens up the door for oppression. Now you heavy in your spirit, and now you got to be delivered from the spirit of oppression because of somebody lied to you or because of what somebody else has told you. And what I do in that situation, well, let me find out for myself how they are. If they're a false prophet, I'll figure it out. But until then, the Holy Ghost ain't told me they're a false prophet. And I have the Holy Ghost. You ain't got to tell me. And if it's true, then guess what? Then maybe God is using me to be their deliverer because God still have not dealt with me yet. You can't allow people to abort your assignment.
That's right.
Because God may tell you, okay, go and tell Apostle Flower X, Y, and Z. But somebody else said, oh, you, I want to go to Apostle Flower. I mean, I know you think the Lord told you that, and I know the Lord may have spoke to you, but just be careful because, you know, he real cutthroat, and you know, Apostle think he full of this, and he just so anointed, and things like, and then before you know it, well, I was going to tell you what the Lord said, but it can wait, you know, don't worry about it. And now all of a sudden you've been manipulated, and you've been controlled by a spirit of witchcraft and the spirit of Jezebel. Anyway, John 10:27, and it talks about my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Or in a nutshell, the way we like to say it, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger will not follow. Anytime that you have followed anything other than the voice of the Lord, you have opened up a portal to your soul.
Wow.
You open yourself up to demonic oppression. You have opened up yourself to demonic suppression, depression, or anything. Somebody could tell you, you know, your light company can say, well, you know, you owe us X, Y, and Z. All of a sudden, you're getting depressed. Because of what you hear. But whose report shall you believe? Then the next portal would be that of your mouth. Be careful what you say out of your mouth, because the Bible says that, Lord, the energy took it just that quick, huh? Lord, help me, Jesus. Be careful what you confess out of your mouth. The scripture is going to come back to me. But you have to be very watchful, very wise with what you say. You have to be harmless. Harmless as doves, but you have to be wise as serpents. Amen. You can't go over. You know what? Let me help you. And let me tell you, and I'm going to read you up one way, and I'm going to read you because I am apostle and I am prophetess, and this, that, and the other. First of all, there's one scripture. Thank you, Lord. The blessings and curses should not flow out of the same fountain.
That's
first of all, that's first. Second of all, you have to be mindful of your tongue, because that little bitty member of that body will destroy a whole nation. Just what you say. Even when the scripture says that thou shalt not kill, it's not talking about pulling the trigger. It's not just talking about stabbing somebody literally and sending them to a natural grave. But how many people can we just actually go and visit at the graveyard because of what somebody said? I know a woman right now who is dead and has been dead a little over 13 years. All because of the spirit of fear.
Wow.
Had an aneurysm, and she survived the brain aneurysm. And doctor said, well, you know, she did good from recovery. But, you know, after treating her, after her recovery for a year and a half, and, you know, I don't know, if she had not just been so afraid, if she just hadn't, if she had been just a little bit more brave about her situation, she would have lived. But she was so afraid of her life and the way her health was going to where she worried herself to death. Be careful what you speak out of your mouth. Be careful of what you allow your mouth to say. Be careful of the words that come out of your mouth because they're power. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Life and death is in the power of your tongue. That's the scripture I was looking for. Thank you, Jesus. And I say it all the time. But life and death is in the power of your tongue.
Mm-hmm.
If you keep on shooting those fruits out of your mouth, you're going to be partakers of that fruit. Because whatever you send out, it's going to come right back to you. Whatever sword you send out, you're going to have five swords coming back to you. You best to believe. Make sure that your words, that the things that you say are seasoned with grace, especially to the Pharisees and the Sadducees who may be on this line infiltrating and trying to find out what it is that we may be discussing. I'm glad you're here. Thank God for you calling in tonight. But the word is definitely for you as well. We can't be constantly going into the church with a judgmental spirit. And baby, if you need to take that skirt off and you need to put on a longer skirt because we shouldn't be seeing your knees. And you know what, baby, you need to cover that head up because the Bible says that a woman can't go in a church with her head on. Cover. That's not, the scripture does not say that. That's not what that means. You know, we're talking about people, and you know, if I were you, I wouldn't prophesy like that, or I wouldn't say this, and I wouldn't say, if God did not put the burden in your spirit to help somebody and to pray them through and to truly minister to them exactly what the word says, shut your mouth, because you're going to send somebody right back out in the streets. Because what is the world saying when they come into the local churches now? Well, geez, you know, I didn't want to commit suicide when I was in the world. I didn't want to commit suicide till I came in the church. Now I want to die. And the church talking about me, you know, the thugs in the street treated me better than this. Maybe I need to go back out in the street because I thought I can get delivered in the church. I can't get delivered in the church because I got some family, the drug dealers in the pulpit.
Yep.
The same person who I just saw a nickel bag to is preaching. Oh, my God. Now, what now? That was a spiritual son that I used to have. And I had plenty of them, so can't nobody figure them out. So I'm not putting names out there. But there was one spiritual son that I had that worked a particular job where he dealt with money. And he would go into the strip club, and he was like, I hate going in there, but you know it's my job. And I'm like, well, I understand that. You got to do your job because they have to pick up money and they have to take it in, kind of like a Loomis Fargo type thing, little trucks or whatever, armored trucks. And so he would go in and do transfers and take their money and then, you know, go on about his business and drop off paychecks as well every other Friday. Well, he would go in flirting with the women. But when the women come to church, they would see him, and he was an elder. So now, one day he just got super saved. You know, and he went in and tried to preach the gospel, and those women tore him up cat raggedy. You can't talk to me. You can't tell me nothing about Jesus. You just slapped me on my behind just last week. How you all of a sudden talking to me about the Lord? Get out of my face before we hurt you. You can't tell me nothing. I want to hear from you. These people need people who are delivered, which is why we're talking about deliverance ministries. The next thing we're going to talk about is the mind. And like we said, then the idle mind is the devil's workshop. There's not necessarily scripture, but you do have scripture that support that.
That's right.
Your mind, the Bible does say that let this mind be in you.
You.
Which was also in Christ Jesus our Lord, meaning that we have to possess the mind of Christ. We have to think like Jesus. We have to move like Jesus. We have to speak like Jesus since he lives on the inside of us. When we claim titles, basically what we're saying is that Jesus is living on the inside of us. If Jesus does not live on the inside of us, then you don't need to claim a title.
Exactly.
Because you don't have the mind of Christ. Every fivefold office, whether it be the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, or the teacher, they all have this one thing in common, and that is the Spirit of Christ living on the inside of them. And one thing that I have learned about the Spirit of Christ is that Jesus Christ is moved with compassion for his people. And any time you are holding or claiming one of the fivefold offices and you are killing somebody with your tongue and you are damaging somebody's soul, sir, ma'am, lose the title. You don't have the Spirit of Christ. Neither did he send you.
That's right.
Now, we have to be careful of the mindset that we come to people in, since we're dealing with leaders, because we could talk about the lay members needing to be delivered all day long, but we got so many leaders who need to be delivered.
Ooh.
Look at Bishop Edson, how he fell. Look at at one point, this woman got to straighten her stuff up, but look at Juanita Bynum and how she fell. Look at Paula White and how they fell. Look at the frontline soldiers who are fallen.
Mm-hmm.
Not the ones who have moved on to be with the Lord, but to the ones who have fallen. Okay, you don't want to look at them. Look at Zachary Tims. He died with cocaine on him.
Yeah. Need deliverance.
You can't justify that. I'm sorry. You can't justify that. I'm not putting them in heaven or hell. That's not my business. My business is that I make it there. But look at the examples.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to be careful. We're on the end time. This is just the beginning of the end time. We've been talking about the end time for years. But, honey, the truth be told, we are right at the brink of the end time. This ain't even end time. We don't have time to be complaining about the little things that we see and we do. We need to work the word for him that has sent us while it is yet day. For when the night time comes and no man can work, there's going to come a day and a time where Bible's going to be snatched out of your houses. For those of you who claim who know the word, but if we take the Bible from you, you can't give us one scripture.
Mm-hmm.
How are you going to have power? Do you have the Holy Ghost?
That's right.
Do the Holy Ghost reside on the inside of you? If you go out and you, okay, I'm ready to cut this girl, can the Holy Ghost snatch you back and say, watch your mind, get this out of your mind, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus? Is there a Holy Ghost on the inside of you that's going to give you Bible? Because when I go to my son's IEP meetings, or when I go to all of his meetings and go to talking to teachers, I may not have my Bible with me all the time. I'm sorry for not being a super, super duper saint, but I don't carry my soul with me everywhere, because the word of God is hidden in my heart, so that I may not sin against him. I may not have it in my purse, but I got it in my heart.
That's right.
And when I have the word of God on the inside of my heart, my mind is covered. This is why, and we need to go there, Ephesians 6 and 10. This is why Ephesians 6 and 10 say that we must put on the whole armor of God so that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The first thing that it tells you to do is to place on what? The helmet of salvation.
Mm-hmm.
Dealing with the mind, covering your mind.
Yep.
You got to be saved even in your mind. Your mindset got to be saved. Your mindset got to be pure. Your mindset got to be holy. Even in the natural, if I move my hand, the signals came from my brain. Okay? If I moved in my flesh, the signals came from my mind. That's why we got to pull down every vain imagination that exalts itself above the knowledge of God, because if we don't, we're going to find ourselves doing the very thing that we did not want to do. Paul. The next thing, and this is the last thing, and I'm going to turn it over to Apostle, is the body. The Bible talks about how our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, we can all go into the structure of the tabernacle, and you know me and Apostle was just talking about that, and I'm going to do a real fast rundown with the tabernacle. In the tabernacle, you have, the first thing you see is the gate. The gate represents Jesus Christ. There are three entrances with the tabernacle. That blessed me this morning, but there are three entrances in the tabernacle. You have the gate, then you have the door, which is right before you go into the inner courts. In order to go to the inner courts, you have already came through the gate, but you have to go through the door. Then when you go through the door, then the next entrance, which is the last entrance, is the veil. So you have the gate, you have the door, then you have the veil. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
When you go into the gate, the first thing you see is the brazen altar. Then you see the brazen ladder. And then you go past that area, and you go into the door. Jesus Christ is the door. Even when the book of Revelation said, Jesus said, I stand, behold, look, I stand at the door and I knock.
Mm-hmm.
And he's looking to enter in into any heart who will receive him. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Then you have the door. When you go into the door, which also talks about the scripture, how Jesus Christ said that he is the way. It's only one way into the tabernacle. That's the east gate. That is the door. You can't go no other way. You can't come in from the west gate and the south gate. You're messing up. Mm-hmm. Anybody that comes in, that's, you are not the son of God. You're coming in any other way. You can't. You can only come through one way, and that is through Jesus Christ alone. So it is with the tabernacle. So you go through the door to the left of you. When you're standing in, once you go past the door to the left of you, you're going to see the lampstand. And it's trimmed, or the lampstand is trimmed with oil. And there are 7 candlesticks on this lampstand, which what we know today as a menorah. You know, the Hanukkah candles that the people like to get for Christmas and things like that. These are what they used in the tabernacle. And those candles represent the 7 spirits of God, and it also represents the different anointings that the Spirit of God carries. And then when you look to the right of you, you have the table of the showbread. Am I missing anything, Apostle? Okay. You have the table of the showbread, and this is where it talks about the bread has to be replenished daily, and the bread cannot have any leaven in it at all, meaning no yeast put in the bread. That's why the Bible says that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. This is why pride is being considered as being puffed up. Just like yeast puffs up bread, it's the same way. There can't be no form of pride in you as a leader or anything. Still talking about the body. We're still talking about the temple of the Lord, okay? Mm-hmm. So now, you come in, okay, we see that you have given yourself as a living sacrifice. You have burnt up the deeds of the flesh on the brazen altar of your spirit, okay? You did good right there. You got past that. You done washed yourself with the washing of the water of the word at the brazen laver. So you did good right there. You've been washed clean with the washing of the word. Praise the Lord. Now you done went into the door, so now you're really rejoicing. Okay, now I got the anointing and the eyes of the Lord and every place behold the good and the evil. And you know all day, I've lived holy, even have I done. You've seen that hymn. But then you get to the right side of your tabernacle and you ain't got no word.
Mm-hmm.
You can't stand. But you're talking about you want to go behind the veil. But you can't go behind the veil if you don't have fresh bread, if you don't have word. That's why the Bible says, according to the prayer that Jesus prayed, give us this day our, not weekly bread, not monthly bread.
Daily bread.
Give us this day our daily bread.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't have a fresh word from the Lord every day, something is wrong. Even if you don't pick up your Bible, you should have enough word on the inside of your Sunday that you should have some kind of word from the Lord.
That's right.
I should be saying something to you every day. God ain't quiet all the time because he does not want you ignorant. So you need to have fresh bread. Now then you have the veil, which will be the Ark of the Covenant behind this veil. We also talked about, not last week, but this is in our own personal studies with the Elijah Boot Camp in the School of the Prophets that we run here in Memphis, Tennessee, about how the veil was so thick. You could put about 15, I want to put maybe like 15 comforters.
Mm-hmm.
And you can staple them together, and the veil would still probably be thicker than that. A veil wasn't a thin little sheet that was just ripped all cute. This wasn't what that is. That ain't what this is. But this veil was so thick, and it was so heavy, and we think we could just wipe it out of the way like it's a piece of sheer satin and just push it out the way and say, oh, voila, we right here at the Ark of the Covenant. It's not that easy.
Mm-hmm.
It took, wow, Apostle, wow, it took 600 priests to hold up the veil, just to get it up, just to hang it up. It took 600 priests to hold it up.
Wow.
So you can't just zip through the veil trying to get to the Ark of the Covenant. And you can't just waltz up into the presence of the Lord. I don't know what it is about this generation, this crooked generation we deal with, where they're telling you can just go boldly to the throne of grace. No. I know the scripture says that, but don't take the scripture out of context, because you can't just walk up on the Lord any kind of way. You can't just go boldly to the throne of grace if you have not burnt up, if you have not burnt the deeds of the flesh, if you have not been on the brazen altar, if you have not been on the brazen laver, if you have not been at the lampstand, if you have not had no daily bread, you cannot walk in the presence of the Lord. How are you going to do that? That means you came from any other way except by Jesus Christ. Anytime you have had an encounter with Jesus Christ, baby, he ain't come to deal with somebody else. He come to deal with you.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to deal with you out of love. The spirit of love. the love of God. It casts out all fear.
That's right.
All fear. It wipes away everything that does not exalt itself above the knowledge of God. This is what love does. And if we move any kind of way outside of how Christ moved, we are in error.
Yep.
Please don't rebuke me if you don't love me. You don't rebuke none of your sons. If you don't have a love for your son or your daughter in the gospel, then don't you open your mouth and you will curse yourself.
You
will mess yourself up. You will bust hell wide open. You leader, you apostle, you prophet. Just because you know something, sit down. Just sit down. And
yep.
I'm saying that out of love. Sit down. We send too many people to hell with our messed up, jacked up attitude. Oh, I can't wait to get to the truck because I'm going to set the houses on fire. I'm cutting their throats open. I'm just going to follow with the word. No, Jesus never anticipated to bruise anybody. Anytime he exposed anybody in their sin, it was always a one-on-one encounter, first of all. Second of all, he dealt with them out of love, and they had a desire to change. They did not
That's
get
right.
in offense with Jesus. Now, let me say this. There were a group of people who did get in offense with Jesus Christ, and that was the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the scribes. So now, if you're in the leadership, if you're in leadership and you're on fivefold office, you priest, you anointed prophet, apostle, and somebody tell you something about yourself and you get in offense, then you have a religious, self-righteous spirit, and you don't want nobody telling you nothing. You stiff-necked and you nasty, you disgusted, and your spirit ain't right, and you need to sit down somewhere because God gonna rip you open. With the 49 who used to be up. That's why there's a change in other gods, because if you notice, you got prophets who are in non-denominational ministries. And they're going into the missionary Baptist churches. They're going into the Kojic churches. You even got some strong prophets, God bless them, that's going into the Catholic churches right now. They are infiltrating. They are infiltrating the churches because the body of Christ will not be divided. And God is coming, and he is sending his apostles, and he's sending his prophets into these houses to grab the remnant and to set order.
Set order, right.
We can have a Satanist call in right now. A Satanist can call in right now, and he can tell you, let me tell y'all why I ain't no Christian, because y'all too divided. Y'all got 15 different thousand denominations.
If I want to follow Christ,
the Church of Christ is going to call for me. The Church of God in Christ is going to call for me. The Assembly of God is going to call for me. The Baptist is going to call for me. You know, the AME, the CME is going to call for me. Okay, now which Christ do I follow?
That's right. Jesus.
But don't nobody want to preach kingdom.
No.
Don't nobody want to talk about Jesus, him being crucified and resurrected.
Ooh,
he ain't coming back. We don't stop. We don't stop with him on the cross. He got off the cross. He ain't there no more. Okay, anyway.
They don't even preach Jesus in the church no more.
Huh?
I haven't even been hearing people preach Jesus in the church no more.
No.
They preach, I'm coming out. I'm going to have $1 million. I'm blessed.
And when they do their Bible stories,
yep.
I want to hear more about the Jesus Christ who touched the woman at the well. What did he do for you? Because the woman at the well wasn't popping ecstasy pills.
Yep.
She wasn't looking at pornography on DVD and on tape. The woman at the well, or the woman with the issue of blood, I don't know what she was dealing with, but her ovaries wasn't falling up out of her. She wasn't pulling out tumors. The Bible just says she had an issue of blood. She didn't have tumors coming up out of her. We have an intercessor right now who will tell you, the Lord led me to pray for this woman of God, and he led the apostle to pray for this woman of God. And as soon, I don't know where, I know where the strength came from, but when I say I don't know where the strength came from, I mean when I say this woman of God, I'm not a small girl, and neither is she. But when the Lord led me to pick her up, and as soon as Apostle came to cover me and I put her back down, she immediately straightway ran to the bathroom and tumors started falling out of her. This is what the Holy Ghost designed to do in the church, but we can't see it. So now we got prophets coming in the house, and they said, come on, let me lay hands on you, and then take that little spin off your arm, and let me move it around, and do you feel the power yet? You feel the power yet? And people still saying, no, I don't feel it. Because we have a form of godliness, and then they want to blame it on you and say, well, let it be according to your faith. No, maybe it's something that they see in you.
Ooh.
So they don't have no faith in you. They have faith in the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Every sickness is not unto death. I have a child with multiple disability. If I see one more person try to lay hands on my baby one more time. Because
mm-hmm.
One thing the Holy Ghost told me when he was born, he said, daughter, understand that his sickness is not unto death, but it's so that I get glory out of this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to get glory out of this. No man going to lay hands on your son and he get glory out of this. My baby is doing things that nobody has ever prophesied. If I saw him walking, I was like, okay, praise the Lord, he been walking. He just spoiled. He been walking.
Yeah.
I mean, so God is doing the healing. The Holy Ghost is doing it. And can't nobody get the credit for that but God.
That's right.
So we're lacking the anointing. You know, we couldn't pass the brazen laver, the brazen altar
mm-hmm.
first, then the laver, then we couldn't pass the lampstand. We couldn't pass the altar, the incense. Oh, my God, don't know how to pray. No incense. No prayer sending up any kind of aroma.
Mm-hmm. I want to say something. I was in the service the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And the word was good. It was good. But what grieved my spirit, I was praying the entire service because it was so many people in that service needed deliverance. And after all the preaching, all the dancing, all the shouting, all the speaking in tongues, mm-hmm. nobody led at least try to get one person delivered. And, I mean, the spirits in there was bad.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, my spirit was grieving. I began to just pray and say, God, you know, help your people. Why aren't, do they not see this? Or do they just want to keep preaching prosperity all the time? I'm not against prosperity because we need money. But I'm just saying, if you're going to preach a balance, okay, you jumping and shouting, oh, all the your haters and all. No, nobody want to hear that. You got people in there that's sick. That need to be delivered, and no deliverance took place.
Mm-mm-mm. And I'm so sick of the haterade messages. I'm so tired of that. We have one hater, and that is Satan.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that I've learned about Satan, I've learned many things about him, but one of the things that just stands out the most to me is that he is the accuser of the brethren.
Mm-hmm.
This is why deliverance and demonology is so important. This is one of the reasons why demonology is so important, because the Bible says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood.
Mm-hmm.
So you get somebody and they lie on you and they scandalize your name, and the first thing you feel like, well, I have every right to hate this person, and they're just a hater, and they're this and they're that. Okay, well, the plan of the enemy just worked because he's the accuser of the brethren. He wants you to see people as a hater. He wants
mm-hmm.
you to see people as a jealous person. It's the spirit in the
mm-hmm.
person that
mm-hmm.
is in operation.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bible says, again, that we wrestle not against flesh and blood.
Mm-hmm.
I break it down for those that's on short bus. We don't fight against people. The people
mm-hmm.
are not our enemy. It's the spirit that's within the person
mm-hmm.
or that temporarily just used that person at that time. Doesn't mean that they're demon-possessed. So somebody lied to me. You know what, girl, Sally Sue lied on me just last week and been lying on me for the past 3 months. It doesn't mean that she has a demon, but she was definitely influenced by a spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And it's to knock you off of focus. So now
mm-hmm.
every other status you got on Facebook, since the majority of the saints are on Facebook and they live their lives on that and they run their ministries off of that, it's
mm-hmm.
like all of your statuses now is, you know, God forgive my haters, or look at these haters, and, you know, hate on me, hater, and now or later stuff, you know.
Yeah.
God is not pleased. He is not pleased because you focus on the wrong thing. So then my question to you now is, what unbelievers saw your status and got saved?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
What believer was encouraged by what you said about a hater. Because if I'm being sanctified and if I represent Transformation Ministries, and currently right now I don't just represent Shamar Ministries. I don't just represent Transformation Ministries. I also represent Greater Community Temple Church of God in Christ. My bishop has just met on the general board, and every status I put up is about my haters. What does that make him look like? Because he ain't teaching no haters. He ain't talking about haters. He ain't studying haters. I can tell you right now, Bishop Brandon Porter ain't studying no haters. He's studying Jesus, but he ain't studying haters. So what do I look like? I'm one that, ooh, my bishop, ooh, my husband, he is such an apostle, and ooh, my husband anointed, and oh, the word is just so good, and then the next status, I can't stand haters. What? Anywho, we have to guard our bodies. Another reason why I was saying about guarding of the bodies is because God has also given us ministry to interpret dreams and visions, and there are different spirits that will infiltrate your dreams. And they'll come into your dream realm, and they will try to have sex with you. And if you know, sometimes women, they catch up on the incubus and the succubus spirit, and they know, well, you know, you just know you're going to turn down a man that's not your husband or your wife, or, you know, however that goes. So there are demon spirits that will come into your dream as your spouse. And you can say, well, my dream wasn't demonic. I just had a dream. I had sex with my spouse. There was still a familiar spirit. The root word to familiar is family. Your spouse is your family. And the purpose of that spirit is to infiltrate your body. And before you know it, then you're having lustful desires. Well, okay, but the lustful desires for my husband, that's pure. No, 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 no. It's not lust. It's love. God is not the author of lust either. I know he ain't the author of confusion, but he's showing the author of lust.
That's right.
Man, I love my fiance. When I am told, when I say I love this man, so in love with this man, and I thank God for him every day, I can guarantee you, and this is just a testimony that I just want to share, I can guarantee you I don't have sexual dreams about this man of God. I better not. Anyway, turn it over to Apostle. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Praise
God bless you all. Turning it over for a second.
Okay.
How you doing, Prophetess?
Fine. How are you? Before you get started,
good.
I want to let you guys know that if y'all want to ask any kind of questions, when you're calling, you have to press 1. So I just want to let you guys know, but we're going to let them continue. But I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. I can't believe Prophetess did that to me. Oh, my God.
Before we get started, I want to say something. On the other day, I was my son was watching TV. He was watching SpongeBob. And a lot of times when they watch TV, I sit down and watch just to see what the devil is doing. Well, I think he said it was Patrick. He had on some underwear, some black fishnet stockings, and some quarter-length boots and was dancing like a ballerina. So I went to tell my son, I said, that's spirit of perversion.
Yeah.
But and there I and they, but I'm gonna tell you, the devil is just so cunning because it just looked like he was it's innocent. But I'm like, no, what a man doing with fishnet stockings on?
Right.
So I was like, wow. I say the devil is really, really getting involved in these different cartoons and these different TV shows that our kids are watching. So we really have to be careful about that.
Wow, that just. That's such a I think I'm going to open that door because I think last week we really didn't talk about that. But I think that would be a great opportunity. I'm just going to share really quickly my testimony. And I think it would help a lot of parents with their children and a lot of children that maybe, you know, God is calling them young. And, you know, and they're really the enemy don't like them already. You know, ain't said a good word out the womb. And you got to understand that the spirit of, and this is all tied up into, you know, demonology and spiritual warfare and deliverance. Ha, huh? Glory. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, y'all. I'm so proud of God always hop on me like that. Lord Jesus.
That's okay.
I just got to praise God because I experienced my first taste of being delivered at the age of 10 years old. And I did not know that there was such a thing as deliverance. You know, many people experience it later on in life, and I got a taste of real deliverance when I was 10 years old. I was 10 years old, 9 or 10. I was in the fourth grade. I remember the year of 1994. Mm-hmm. I was in the fourth grade, and all of my friends had, and parents, this is an example to really help you to be prayed up and pray over your children. You know, Christmas is coming, and you have to be mindful that everything that's out there for children is not designed for children. Because what happens is they get set up, it sets them up, my God, to have demonic influence so that later on it becomes, you know, it may start off now as a comic book or their favorite show, and later on it'll be their favorite fetish or their favorite piece of clothing or their favorite musician or their favorite drug or their favorite habit. So those things grow up with your children. They just morph into bigger demons.
That's right.
And the roots are exposed. The enemy gets your children and baits people, even babes in Christ, with fruit. Baits you with fruit. And they later on, when you get stuck, it grows up, and then all of a sudden it becomes a root. You know, it becomes a root. So... I'm sorry, could you give me something to drink? I'm so sorry.
That's okay.
I was 10 years old, and I was in the fourth grade, and all my friends, you know, we were watching the Cartoon Network, and they were buying comic books, and at that time, I think they had a tour, you know, Power Rangers. If you guys remember the 1990s, the Power Rangers just ruled, I should say, at least from 91 through, like, 95. It was just Power Ranger mania. And movie after movie after movie after movie. And I remember being in church, and it was Easter. It was Easter in 1994. And my friends was like, oh, my God, you know, you can't watch. Because I told them, you know, my mother didn't let us watch a whole lot of stuff. My mother was a praying woman, and she said, no, y'all not going to be watching everything that's a beast and everything that she didn't believe in animals talking and nothing like that, so we couldn't watch enough. You know, she just guided us against that kind of stuff because the nature of it was very, I won't even say demonic, it was satanic. And I remember, bless your name, God, I remember my friends, and I told them, oh, this will never affect me. Power Rangers, oh, that ain't real. That's never going to affect me. And if I'd only known that for the next 4 months, I would literally go through the worst demonic torment I've ever gone through in my life as a child. While everyone else was picking up comic books, I remember going, there's a city in Maryland called Ellicott City, and I remember picking up books and going in different shops, and they had antique shops, and I would touch things, profited, and I'd have to sit it right down because I could feel the spirits on the objects that owned it.
Wow.
And I could pick up a book. It didn't matter what it was, a book or a lamp or anything, and my brother was just buying this stuff, and I would pick it up, and all of a sudden I feel a heaviness, and I have to put it back down. And at that time, I was a child. I didn't know it was heaviness. I was like, wow, you know, I feel sleepy. My brother's name is Sean. I was like, Sean, I feel sleepy every time I'm in this room, or I feel sleepy every time I pick up this toy. I feel tired. I feel sad. God bless you. And I began, my father visited one of the people that he used to work for, and this guy used to that used to work for my father was playing heavy metal music all the time, day and night, and he had drums everywhere. He idolized one of the drummer from Motley Crue, who also married Pamela Anderson. And he had a huge wolf dog that he owned. And at that time, people were buying wolf dogs and hybrid animals and stuff like that. When I tell you, this wolf dog was so vicious and was the meanest, biggest dog and the meanest dog I've ever seen in my life. and I felt a presence on that animal. So I came home, we came home that night, and all of a sudden, spirit of bewilderment and confusion. As a child, I was in Christian school my whole life, so I knew Jesus and our relationship with the Lord at a young age in my life. But I didn't understand anything about demons or spiritual warfare. I didn't know at that time that the enemy was going to attack me because of who I was born to be. I hadn't even become that yet.
I'm
sitting in the back of my mom's shadow, in the back of her her car, and we was riding home. And all of a sudden, I remember at that time, I'm just sharing my testimony with you. Somebody's going to be set free tonight.
Amen.
Somebody's going to be set free tonight. If not you, for somebody around you, someone is going to be broken free, hallelujah, from something they don't understand, something they're being controlled by that they can't see.
That's right.
Somebody has been oppressed, Holy Ghost, for the past 7 days, and it hasn't broken, but it's going to break tonight. Even the past 7 weeks, God said, you've been oppressed so heavily in your spirit. And God's going to break that bondage tonight by the power of his spoken word, by the power of his spoken word. You don't need a whole sentence. God said one word tonight going to set you free.
Yes, Jesus.
Ah, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. So I began to sit in the back of the car, and the spirit of confusion began to hit my mind. And the enemy would go in one ear and out the other. Are you saved? Do you love Jesus? And at the time, there was a song by the two younger sisters of CeCe Winans. They had a group called Angie and Debbie.
I remember
them. They had a song, and I remember it because Whitney Houston did the background. And it would say, you know I've been touched by the light of love. And it was just playing over and over and over in on the radio. And I began to cry as the song played, because I did not know the enemy was attacking my mind, because he knew that if he could attack my mind, he could control my emotions. And if he could attack my mind and control my emotions, he could control the actions of what I would do. When I tell you the spirit of bewilderment and confusion came on me so strong till I could not remember my name, and for the next 4 months, the lights in the house were never bright enough. Every room I went in, I had to turn the light on. I could not stand the dark.
Wow.
I could not look at my face in the mirror, because every time I looked at my face, I saw my face contorting and demons in my face. And for months, my mother would say, what's wrong with you? Are you okay? And I was like, Mom, I'm just so tired. I'm so sleepy. I don't understand what's wrong with me. And, and I would look in the mirror. She said, come on, say, Jesus lives in me. And I could not say it.
Ooh, Jesus.
I wanted to with my heart. But my mouth could not, I couldn't bring myself to say that Jesus lived in me. I didn't understand what that meant. And I would be pushed at nighttime. See, when I was, when I was awoke, I would hear constantly voices. I would be flooded with voices in my ears. Kill yourself. Throw yourself out the window. Cut your wrist. Come on, drown yourself in the bathtub. Your parents don't love you. Somebody's going to break in the house tonight. My God, my God. And then I go to sleep, and I slept in a bunk bed. I slept in the top bunk, and my sister in the bottom bunk. And I would be pushed, prophetess. I would be pushed from the top bunk of my bed. And I wake up on the floor, and my mom be like, what's wrong with you, son? You could have broke your neck. What's going on? She said, you always sleep at the end by the wall, because I was so scared of the dark. I would just huddle up at night, and I would always sleep in the fetal position. Sometimes I still do it, sleep in the fetal position, just clamped up. And I would get so much relief. The nightmares were horrible when I went to sleep. I could not watch Michael Jackson's Thriller to save my life.
Wow.
Watch anything. I couldn't watch Power Rangers. I couldn't pick up a comic book, because I began to see spirits on people. And I would see the spirits talking to me while the person was looking another way. I began to see spirits, shadow spirits, look one way behind a person, see, and then go back into the shadow of that person. I'm like, God, why am I seeing all of this? And at the same time that my seer gift as a prophet and apostle was being activated,
so mm-hmm. was the enemy's attack on that gift.
Wow.
And he said, if I cause enough fear, then I'll get him into something that he doesn't understand, and he'll never accept the call.
Mm-hmm.
But God. And I remember one of the last attacks, I understood what was going on. My mother had left the television on. I mean, I was awake with cuts on my body, all kinds of stuff. And I was laying there, and one day she left the television on. I woke up screaming, turn it off, turn it off, turn it off. And she was like, what's wrong with you? What is going on with you? She said, it's only on the static. I said, I can hear voices through the static in the television.
Wow.
You got to turn it off. I would be choked in my sleep. It was all kinds of stuff. And I would try to read the scripture. I mean, I was a boy. And I would read the scriptures. I'm like, I got to go to the scriptures that I read. Because Jesus, you know, the name of Jesus, every demon will flee. I know that much because I was young. And I would just read the word.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd have to stop reading the Bible and start talking to a spirit. Because it was tormenting me that bad.
Wow.
And so one day I went to church, and my prophetess was there, and another prophetess was there, and my mother said, we had church. Glory to God. And one day, God opened up. Glory. Lord. See, Jesus. The reason why, let me tell you something. God led me here to Exodus. God, I don't know why you led me here. But God led me to Exodus chapter 20. And I'm just going to read 1 through 5 because it's going to match up. It says, then God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God who has brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me or beside me. You shall not make yourself any graven image to worship it or any likeness of anything that is in the heavens above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down yourself to them or serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. See, while I was going through all that warfare as a boy, my grandmother had dabbled in white magic.
Wow. Ooh. Jesus.
She belonged to the Baptist church, but the spirit of offense, she went through a divorce and caused her to leave the church, and she began to rely on people that said that they could see, but they did not belong to the household of faith. And you got to be careful of the spirit of offense, because the spirit of offense will drive you to rebellion and drive you to witchcraft.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, help me, God. Help me, Jesus. I got my mind sucked over by her. And my mother still had candles and dust and powder from all that trash in the basement of her house while I was going through this warfare.
Ooh, Jesus.
And when the prophetess came up to me, she said, we got to go back. Because Lord Jesus, the Spirit of God opened up the eyes of my mother. And she saw a spirit that looked like a white ranger from the Power Rangers come in the room. And grabbed my shoulders, and he purviewed the room. He looked around the room, then he looked at her, and he said, he's mine. She went up in the spirit. I said, Mom, what's wrong with you? She said, oh, no, the devil is alive. Oh, God, not in this house. So the next Sunday we went, and my prophetess, my pastor asked me, she said, comrade, how you doing? And I'm 10 years old. This response should have never came out of my mouth. I said, I'm being tormented, Pastor. She said, whoa, wait a minute. You're being tormented? She said, you don't even know what that word means. I said, yes, I do. I said, I'm being tormented every hour of the day. I can't sleep.
Wow.
Oh, my see.
Jesus.
Somebody's going to get delivered tonight.
Yes, Lord.
And they begin, oh, glory. Thank you, Jesus. And they begin to pray. And they prayed, and they prayed, and they prayed, and they prayed.
Mm-hmm.
And they prayed, and I watched, my mother watched me uncoil, and she watched me rise on that ground, and my face began to change. My countenance began to change. Thank you, God, for deliverance. He's still a deliverer.
Yes.
He's still a deliverer. I don't care what you're going through, he's still a deliverer.
Oof.
Not too can still be set free.
Yes.
God is not slack concerning his promise. Hallelujah.
Yes, God.
Jesus. Hallelujah, God. I just thank you. I thank you, God. Mm-hmm. Because I was being tormented, I didn't know how to get out. But I thank God that somebody had a relationship with him that I didn't have. And knew more than I knew to get me free. And I watched that spirit, I watched that werewolf spirit go to hell. I watched it go into the pit.
Ah, yeah, boy.
And I laughed myself of all that deliverance. I began to laugh for the first time in 4 months. I couldn't watch the television. I began to laugh. And I began to sing, the joy of the Lord is my strength.
Yes, God.
And I walked out of there that first day. Oh, God, I thank you, God. I walked out of that church delivered as a child.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know. And my mom went home and she threw away all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And we rededicated our household to God.
Yes, God.
And God began to minister to me at that age. And he said, you're going to have to choose you this day who you're going to serve.
Mm-hmm.
And in school, the kids didn't understand me. Because they could stay up and they could watch Adult Swim. They could watch Pokemon. I couldn't touch it.
Mm-hmm.
Because God was conditioning me to bring them out later on in life. But he was preparing me as a child. See, they went through all, they could watch anything they wanted to. But later on, they became drug dealers. Later on, they became homosexuals. Later on, they became. And some of them died. But God conditioned me at that age. Hallelujah. Later on, that I'd be able to, he put it in me that later on, when they needed help, when their parents did not want to help them, that there was somebody that was around them, that had been around them long in their school life, there was a friend of theirs that would come and say, you need some prayer. You need to be broken free. There's some things that need to be loosed off of you. And God, right now, I thank you for your power, God, that is not short.
Yes,
it
God.
Is not, God, your power. Lord,
yes,
your
God.
Power is delivered right now. I send it on you, rocking the winds of the Spirit. God, to deliver every person that hears this voice.
Yes,
and hears
God.
The voice of God. Be delivered today. Be set free. Yes, the blood of Jesus.
Yes, God.
He washes you whiter than snow.
Yes, God.
I send the fire of God through this telephone line right now, God, to every person, God, that's got to have it. Hey, there's no such thing as a sinner and you're still a saint. You can't be gay calling yourself saint. You can't be on drugs calling yourself saint. You can't be hating folk calling yourself saint. You can't be mean and evil calling yourself saint, set free, and delivered. It's either one or the other. What have you
done? Yaro robo shake, it robo sa.
What have you been delivered from? What have you been saved from? You can't be saved, no such thing as saved in sin. The Bible says no one born from above habitually practices sin.
Yeah.
Meaning that if you take it on, you take it on as a religion and a belief, and that thing becomes your God.
Yes, God.
Because you're led around and you're drawn away by your own lust.
Yes, God.
It's not God's fault. If you want to be free, you can be free.
That's right.
You don't want it. And a lot of you are delivered. Your problem is maintaining the deliverance. And that takes a prayer life.
That's
that
right.
That takes a word life. That takes a fasted life. It's time to be saved. Not saved. Be saved. You're going to be saved? Be saved.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
You want me to hush and love your soul? Walk this word.
Yes,
sir.
Mm-hmm.
Trust Holy Ghost. Trust God. Lord God.
Yes,
you only got one alternative. You can't serve two masters.
That's right.
And I'm making it easy for you because it's not really your decision. Somebody's going to come out when you get delivered. Because I've been there. I've been through all of that. I could be a homosexual to this day. I could be a whoremonger to this day. I could be addicted to pornography and masturbation to this day. Could be a drug dealer to this day and a gang to this day. Could be a alkie to this day. Went through all of that. I could be a psychic to this day. It was according to the will of the enemy. But thanks be to God that gives us the victory and calls us to triumph.
Yes.
I'm a living witness. You can be set free.
Yes. Yes.
There is such a thing called deliverance.
That's right. That's right.
Somebody, wherever you at, I'm done. But Holy Ghost, so you just need to say deliverance.
Yes, deliverance.
Deliverance. We don't say that in our whole stuff. See, because I have no one see our whole. See, the enemy is scared of your tongue. He ain't scared of you being able to preach a prophesy. But he ain't scared when you get delivered.
Yes, yes.
So that means that God will do anything for you when you're obedient to his will.
Yes,
sir.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus couldn't disobey God. He said, I do what I see my Father do. I can't disobey the Father.
That's right.
It's not my will. It's no longer my will. I died to my will.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to give him a piece of my mind. I'm just going to tell him, well, look, honey, I ain't delivered, and I'll cut you. You ain't dead yet. You ain't saved yet. You ain't gave over your will yet.
Mm-hmm.
I got a word for you. You want a prophetic word? Die.
Yes.
Ooh, Jesus, to your flesh.
Die now or die later.
Mm-hmm.
But you're going to die. You're going to die to that flesh.
Yes.
Or you're going to die in the flesh. You better make up your mind who you're going to serve.
Yes,
Lord. Mm-hmm. This ain't no religion. This ain't no old-time religion. It's just Bible. It's just called deliverance. He wants you. He's jealous for you. He wants you. He's yearning for you.
That's right.
Oh, God. God said, the Bible says, it's the goodness of God that calls us to repentance.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I thank God for repentance. I thank God I could come back. I thank God that somebody took me to the altar.
Mm-mm-mm.
Thank you, God, for the blood. We thank you, God, for the blood. I thank you right now, God, for delivering power. I thank you for deliverance. I thank you, Lord God, that somebody being saved for real tonight. God, somebody been seeking. They've been asking. God, they've been asking. They've been searching. God, they're saying there's got to be more than church. I'm sick of church. I'm sick of phony people. I don't want God.
Ooh, Jesus. Yes, Lord.
I want power in my life. Power. Oh, Messiah. And I lose that power tonight. I lose it.
Yes, God.
To the east, to the west, to the north, to the south. Power.
Mm-hmm.
I told Belly, you're going to be saved from your belly, not from your mind, not from your brain, from your heart. Lift your hands up and say, Jesus, I receive you. Forgive me of my sins. Wash me. Deliver me. Give me your spirit. Give me the spirit of God.
Yes, God. Oh,
I want to be saved for real, God. I don't want to be able to like other people play in church. I want you in my life, God. I need you.
Yes, God.
I have you. I gotta have it. I need you. I want you. I gotta have it.
Mm-mm-mm.
God, hallelujah. Promise, I gotta turn it back over to you because I'm a loser.
Yes, God.
Ooh, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Glory. Thank you, God.
Yes, God.
Hallelujah. Holy Ghost said, you're going to live now or live on the
Bible.
Repeat that again, prophet.
The Holy Ghost said, tell my people, either they're going to live now or they'll die later.
Oh, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Mm-mm-mm.
There's a scripture that says, he who finds his life shall lose it, but he who loses his life shall find it.
That's right.
If you don't lose your life that you live, that you know that does not please the Lord, you're going to lose your life.
Yes, yes, yes.
Ooh,
prophet,
God.
I have someone, I guess they probably want to ask a question or something.
Sure.
Do you want to take this call? We have like 30 minutes left.
Yes, great. That would be great.
Okay. Hello, caller, you're on the line, area code 111. Okay, they dropped the call, so.
The Holy Ghost, while we wait, anybody that has questions, let me tell you something. If you need prayer for deliverance, you need to call right now.
Yes.
You need to call. If you can't call and you're in a position where you can't talk, but you're in front of the Internet, you need to send out your information. You need to type it. Do something. Hit us up on Facebook. Hit us up in our inboxes. But deliverance belongs to you tonight, but you have to really want it.
Yes, and if the ones that's already on the call, please press 1, and we can go in. I was a few people out here earlier, but I don't want to break in. So we have 30 minutes left. Please press 1 if you want them to pray with you guys. That's a powerful testimony. When he began to talk about when he was a child. Yes.
Okay.
When he was talking about when he was a child, I can remember, and I know this probably sounds crazy, I remember watching The Incredible Hulk as a child. And believe it or not, I would have nightmares. I would wake up and see the Incredible Hulk in my room, and I would just cry. And, you know, and being that we didn't know a lot about the spirit world back then, my mom would just equate it to, you just scary. But, I mean, every night I would either dream a nightmare about the Incredible Hulk or see the Incredible Hulk in my room.
And you would get scared. There's nothing natural about a green man. I don't care how the beginning of the story tells or what he got into some chemicals and things like that, and he just became green and huge and things like that, but he still was unhuman.
Mm-hmm.
Let me stop somebody's mindset right now, because let me tell you something. You can't call on the line, or you can't get on the Holy Ghost radio show or any other radio show who is truly led by the Holy Spirit and have where you have a true prophet or an apostle on the line or in that atmosphere, and you cannot even so much as think something negative and the prophets don't pick it up.
That's right.
So let me just bust a religious spirit right quick. And I don't know what this is and who I'm picking it up from, but you know what, that's a little too spiritual. And they, okay, ain't nothing wrong with the Power Rangers. I used to watch the Power Rangers and nothing happened to me, and that's just a little bit. Let me help you. You don't understand the warfare that you will face 10 years from now because of what you watched 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I used to watch the Power Rangers. I watched Power Rangers all day long. But what I did not understand, I didn't watch Power Rangers in my own will. I know what Apostle is saying is true, because my great-grandmother had every last series, every single last one.
Mm-hmm.
And she religiously watched Power Rangers. She was addicted to the Power Rangers, and she didn't even know why I even herself. Mm-hmm. My great grandmother, she was in her, at that time, she was in her late 70s, going into her 80s, watching mm-hmm. the Power Rangers. So mm-hmm. that in itself lets you know that there's something behind that. Somebody may say, okay, well, maybe she just liked Power Rangers. All right. I used to watch He-Man and She-Ra. See, we think that this stuff is innocent and it's fine. Prophets, we had to play for my son today right before mm-hmm. he went to school because mm-hmm. he said, well, firstly, my spiritual daughter told me, she said, Mom, I just had all these dreams and I had these visions. And my six-year-old, mm-hmm. he still goes to his dad's house on weekends and things like that, and they watch movies. My mm-hmm. six-year-old told me, he said, wait. He said, no, Londa, I'm the child. I go first. Mom, I've been having all these dreams about these monsters, and one of the dreams that I had, it was about Monster's House, mm-hmm. the movie Monster's House.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If you are on this call and if you are listening in, you cannot afford to chop this up as foolish.
That's right.
If you have a child or if you have children, tonight is the best night to start cleaning your house.
Amen.
In the natural. Going through getting rid of every Disney product you have. And a lot Amen. Of people may say how light it is. I don't care. I don't care if I got family on this line just listening to me right now. They mm-hmm. already think I'm a loony bin. I don't care.
Amen.
But I know that this household is going to represent the house of the Lord. This is the house of the Lord.
Okay, mm-hmm. Prophet, we have two people on. I want to make a comment. Now, when I bring you guys on, I'm going to give you like 2 minutes to state whatever it is you want to state to them, to give them time to minister because we only have like 24 yes. minutes left.
Yes.
So I'm going to bring one in now. Hello, caller. You're on the line, area code 678.
Yes, Vanessa. Hello.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. I was just listening to the apostle when he was going through. So many years I've been in darkness and in fear. And for I went through the thing of trying to kill myself and take my life so many times and just not understand why
mm-hmm.
I was different and why it seemed like I've always been by myself. And it just
Hold on 1 minute. Their call dropped and I'm calling them back now. Just give me 1 minute.
Amen.
Okay, she's back. Go ahead and continue
okay.
to tell her.
And I've been fighting this for years. I'm 46 now, but it's just like I have a love for God, and it's just like the things he was saying, I've been going through that for years, but I came through the part of not, I have tried to really take my life, just cutting on the wrist, the taking the pills, just everything, because I felt so different. I went through things. It was as if people had something on me. It was like I was always in pain, but I go to the doctor, couldn't find out nothing was wrong with me. And then when I came to life with Christ, you know, I started studying up on demons and unbroken curses and all this stuff like that. And my desire is for me to really work for God, to do everything that God needs me to do now. And it's just like I need it so badly. And to the point where I got married recently, and it was February 24th, to come and find out the man that I thought I was married to, he was already married. But then once he ended up being in prison now within less than a year time of our marriage. But then I found some stuff of black magic that he was working in possession, as if the Satan had placed him in my life to take me out. And God mm-hmm. removed him, and he's in prison now. And it's just like, I need prayer for this, because I feel like even though I don't clean my house, it might be something I missed and haven't seen, I looked over or something. And I just need prayer for total deliverance, because I got to be right with God in every area of my life.
Yes, Lord. What's your name?
My name is Vanessa.
Vanessa, I know you have to hold your phone with one hand, unless you have a Bluetooth or something like that. But I don't see Bluetooth. I know you have to hold on phone. Lift your right hand. Just lift your right hand to the Lord and close your eyes. Now, God, whatever I decree and whatever I say, just for the sake of this time on this line, God, that you're going to honor this quickly.
Thank you.
I decree and declare deliverance. I decree.
I decree.
and I declare deliverance right now within the next 5 minutes. You're going to be set free. Father, I break every fetter. I break every chain. I break every spirit of bondage off of her mind now. In the name of Jesus. Break magic, break right now. Break curses, break right now. In the name of Jesus. God, you are only as delivered as what you see in your mind. I command even now that the mind of Christ possess you right now. Be possessed with the mind of Christ. Be possessed with the mind of Christ.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Be possessed with the mind of Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Think on the mind of Jesus Christ, woman. Think on the mind of Jesus Christ. Now, in name of Jesus, I place on her the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness. I shine her feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace even now. And I gird up her loins with truth. I place in her hands the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I give her the shield of faith right now. According to your word, God. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Thank you.
And that armor is going to work against every witchcraft spirit.
Thank you.
I don't know if this man been trying to call your phone. Long distance phone calls, unfamiliar phone calls, I don't know what all this infiltrating spirit trying to come into your house. God, infiltrate her house. I stand forth every warring angel. I speak. I command that the angelic host right now will encamp her home now. Encamp her spirit. Encamp her body. You ain't going to see no more demon spirits, but let your eyes open up and see the angels of the Lord in front of your house. No more astral projection, no more levitation, no more paranormal activity to your house. In the name of Jesus, you're going to sleep, and you ain't going to have no more nightmares.
Thank you.
I speak right now, and I stop and I annihilate the plans of every night husband that come to sleep with you in your dreams.
Thank you, Jesus.
Trying to take over your body. The devil is alive.
Hallelujah.
People calling you crazy. You ain't crazy. Jesus. Something wrong with her. Ain't nothing wrong with you. But she's peculiar. You are the call. You are chosen. And you shall fulfill your assignment that Jesus Christ has called and ordained you to do in this earth, in this timing, in this season, not the next season, this season, not next year, this year. It's only 1 month left in the year. This year, woman of God, 2012, you're going to begin to fulfill your destiny, and it's going to stretch for years and years and years to come, even now. And you're going to do it saved, sanctified, and set free and delivered. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. God bless you, woman of God.
Hallelujah. We can play with this thing if we want to. This is real.
Amen.
This is real. This is one of the reasons why I want to shut Facebook down right now. But there's so many people who reach out to us on Facebook, so we can't afford to shut it down. Men apostles have been fighting the urge to shut Facebook down. But there's so many people, the remnant. We got the remnant who've been deceived by the media network, and we're infiltrating. We're infiltrating. Meaning we got to bother weave our way into some of these things to get the remnants. See, this is not a plaything. This ain't no plaything. Some
people are calling in on this line trying to, well, I got to see what they want to say. Gerald, just hang the phone up because you're playing with God. You're playing with God.
Yeah.
We ain't got time, woman of God. We ain't got time. We ain't got time, woman of God. Prophetess, you better tell some of these folks we ain't got time to play with the Lord.
Amen.
The Bible says it is a dangerous thing to fall in the hands of an angry God. What is wrong with the body of Christ? What is wrong with us? We pray with these titles, prophesying lies. We call it the very thing holy that's not holy. We call it everything that is God the devil. We call it what the devil God. What is wrong? What happened? Our children are dying.
That's right.
The children, they just been snatched away from, by the hands of the enemy because these nannies and these pastors out here don't have no discernment, no power.
Amen.
TV babysitting our children. Unsaved babysitters, molesters, homosexuals, and lesbians are babysitting our kids while we go to church. What's going on? What's up with that?
Jesus.
What happened to children ministries?
Yeah.
But then when we even going to church, you got homosexuals that's taking over. And when I say homosexuals, I'm not talking about men with men. This is all together. Spiritual perversion.
That's right. That's right.
You got grown women molesting little boys.
Mm-hmm.
You got grown men molesting little girls.
Hmm.
My God. And then we're talking about we pastors. And the point is, make sure you give your children some money so they can show in Sunday school, but the Sunday school teachers are stealing the money.
Hmm.
You see, it's not just sexual perversion. It's perversion altogether.
Yes.
We lie to these kids.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay, I deal with homosexuality. I know I'm dealing with perversion, but I don't introduce it to the children. If you are preaching any kind of gospel and you are not delivered, honey, your spirit bleeds on the kids.
Yes.
You're not
yes.
covered.
That's
you're
right.
not covered. You're not covered by the ark of safety. Just sit down somewhere. Sit your high parts down.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But you know what it is, prophetess? It takes too much. It takes too much pride being broken to
yes.
sit down.
Mm-hmm.
So we're afraid to lose respect of people.
Yep.
We care more about what people think, so we ain't going to sit down.
Because
if I
thinks.
Sit down, see, folks going to think I'm a sinner. Well, you are a sinner. That's why you got to sit down.
That's right.
Because if you don't, God's going to bring you to an open shame.
That's right.
Even right now, you want to go to the nations, sit down now. Just sit
that's
down.
Right.
You know you're not right. If you know you're not right, sit down. Look, if something was wrong with me, I promise you, I wouldn't be calling in on this show. I'm not going to talk.
That's right.
Because what's on me going to bleed on the people.
Mm-hmm.
I can't preach to you if I got a cussing demon. I'm cussing everybody out every time something crosses my path.
Mm-mm-mm.
I can't come to you and tell you nothing. I'm not saying I'm perfect either.
Down. They say that if the anointing falls from the head down, so does sin and junk.
What's the woman of God? What you talking about?
Mm-hmm.
What you said? But we don't want to sit down.
Well,
so we want to continue to look good in front of the people.
Caller. We're going to go ahead and
shit.
We're going to want to take this last call. hello, caller, you on the line, 904
mm-hmm.
number.
Yes, how are you doing today?
Hey, Mom, how are you?
Hi. I want to come back on some things that the prophetess was talking about. Where
mm-hmm.
People seem to think that this is all a joke about these Disney movies and everything. But it's out there. The information is out there. It's not hard to find. And I want to talk about some stuff about Pocahontas. We don't even know what that word means. Poca means ghost. Hontas means canyon. The ghost from the canyon. When you call Pocahontas, you call satanic activity to come into the midst of your children and yourself. Not only that, and as I was reading on and looking some more stuff up on it, It said, when the Indian girl and the white boy sail together on the white boat, you hear a romantic song played by a Jamaican band. Mm-hmm. When you turn up the volume, you hear a voodoo spell that is translated to curse all the children who watch this. Something else that you can't really deny, because see, people, we visual, so people got to see it for themselves. In the Disney movie Fantasia, the sorcerer name that was named Yansed, which is Disney spelled backwards.
Stop. See.
Yeah.
But you know what, Mother? You know something, I'm just going to say this real quick.
I'm going to call one of these fertility gods, Mr. Thomas and Nadia, is the fertility god that they call Pan, which is a pervert. It's a perverted god that molests little children. Now, think what he did to the little girl Lucy when he put her to sleep and he woke up and said he did something bad. Your mind automatically went to, I wonder, did he molest that child? But in the movie, he was portrayed as good. It's all kind of stuff out there. If we take our time, we don't want to study.
That's it.
We don't
want
to know it. We don't want to know it, because if we know it, we're going to be responsible for it. And we are the type of people that don't want to be responsible.
Yeah, that's right.
Mother, let me tell you this. See, you shouldn't have called in and did that. Now, you know we ain't got but 10 minutes.
I know.
Apostle said 5 minutes. I know, but listen, you know what? People not going to believe that. A lot of people ain't going to believe that. So you know what it's going to take? It's going to take the kids coming up in there, spitting up and acting a fool and levitating. I'm telling you what the Lord showed me.
I don't know. But see, the parents got to break free in order for the children
that's
to get
right. That's right. Yes, they do.
Parents in denial, they gonna sit there and let the kids continue to watch this stuff. Every year in Disney, they have a gay parade where they have all the gays to come. Last year, they had 60,000 gays to come in, and they set up an orgy in the middle of Disney World in Orlando. And the kids was out there watching them kiss, have orgies, and everything else.
Mm-hmm. Mother, tell them about the drag queen party.
Movies, he died from HIV. He was a homosexual himself.
The Walt Disney? Wow.
They're in black and white. All people got to do is search it and look for it. Even,
Mother,
even
tell them about
even when you look
the
at
drag queen body.
In the cursing letters, if you look real close, you'll see 666.
Mm-hmm.
Pull it up and look at it.
Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I think that people need to be aware of, I'm pretty sure most people in Florida have been to Disney World. When you go in Disney World, it's like they have two demon I call them gargoyles sitting
every
on the side.
Has two gargoyles.
In the theme, of Disney World. All you have to do is when you walk in,
and
look up and you see
high.
These two demons.
And you walk through the gate.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I don't feel bad for not going now.
I was seeing the boys walk around with the little lightning bolt on their shirts. The lightning bolt is an ancient cultic sign of Lucifer.
Yes, it is.
People don't realize you got your children on skulls and bones. That's death.
That's right.
Why you think these young people dying early? You already done mocked them. Because we don't want to know, but you want to pass out and fall out when something happened to one of them. But you put them in the devil's hand.
Mm-hmm.
Because you refuse to know it, and when somebody tell you, you want to buck up against it. But you can't do that. You got to accept it for what it is.
That's right. That's right.
But I mean, that's some of the stuff that I wanted to bring out, and maybe, you know, people that's listening will go and just search this stuff and research. Just all you got to do is look at it. It'll tell you just where to look at and everything. It'll break it all down for you.
They Google everything else. I don't see why they wouldn't.
Yeah,
we Google everything else.
Help me, Lord.
We need to look into all this stuff.
But, yeah.
And let me be quiet about Google, too. But anyway.
Yeah, like The Sweet Life of Zach and Cody. They cross-dress.
See?
Ooh. Look at them. Look at them. They cross-dress. So they make it seem it's okay. Oh, and the Puritan be sitting right in front just laughing like it's funny.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't realize what was happening with them.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Mickey Mouse.
Mm-hmm.
He wears a sorcerer hat and cast magic spells. Every time you see him, he got that wand and that hat on his head.
Yeah.
And, you know, Walt Disney was a 33rd degree Mason.
Wow.
Okay. I just wanted to get that out, and I know time is now winding down. So, enjoyed the show, and I wish we can continue this at a later date.
Amen.
So there's so much that we need to get out there. It really is, somebody is going to listen, and somebody is going to take heed to what we're saying.
Amen.
They are. Amen.
All right. Okay. Bye bye.
Okay, Mama.
All right, Prophetess, you can give the people your information, y'all's information again, in case they want to contact y'all. And again, they will be on next Monday. Prayerfully, we'll probably be continuing this because there's so much that has to be come out. I mean, really, it's a lot. You know, we can't just give you all the stuff at one time because it really gets in depth. And a lot of people is really not ready for what they want to release. So they kind of try to build it up. It's like you're building a foundation.
Exactly.
And when it comes to the cartoon, it's a lot of information on it. Just television shows, period. It's a lot of information on that. You have actual demons and names of demons that's behind this stuff, and we want to kind of get into it, but we cannot give you that. We got to build the foundation. So, Prophetess, give them your contact information.
Okay, sure thing. You can contact us at our ministry number, and it's 901-300-9039. Again, it is 901-300-9039. We do answer calls. We've been celebrating with family this holiday season, but we are really back on the roll with everything, so you can feel free to call us. We will answer. We will get back. We do read our emails. You can also contact us with shamarprophets@gmail.com. That's shamarprophets. And you can also do transformationprophet@gmail.com. And that's transformation, that's the word transformation, and then the word prophet@gmail.com, P-R-O-P-H-E-T. Not F-I-T, but the office prophet, amen? And those both are @gmail.com, and you can also contact us on Facebook. And if you are connected to Tyana Copeland Ministries, you will definitely find us. We comment on her walls all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You can also find Apostle Conrad Bowman by facebook.com/Conrad Bowman. Amen. And me likewise as Sharonda V. Cake Lady Sherelle. Amen. Just keep tuning in. Keep listening in. Your children are our next generation, and it's very important that we tune in to these classes or these calls so that we may be enlightened by the word.
Amen. And you guys, please invite family members, sinners. They can be saved on the show. It doesn't matter. Invite
for anybody.
Anybody, because we really want to see people change, deliver, set free. Whatever it is they need, we want to see God performing in their lives. So stay tuned to next week, and we will talk to you guys later.
Amen.
We are so thankful you decided to join us this week. To keep up with ministry updates, go to www.TianaCopelandMinistries.org and follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/TianaCopelandMinistries. Join us next time and make sure you invite everyone to join us as well. We pray for you, you, and you, that the blessing of the Lord maketh it rich and addeth no sorrow with it. Proverbs 10:22, God bless. And all will be